Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I have Bill Kurzeja.
Kurzeja. No, you're right. You're right.
Say it again.
Kurzeja.
Kurzeja. Sorry, Bill. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, no worries.
Butcher your last name. So Bill is the owner and founder of Professional Success South, which is a professional sales training and business consulting firm. Bill, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
So Bill, early on, did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Is this something that you strive for when you were like 5 years old? Or did you fall into this as you got older? Tell us about your mindset back in those days.
No, I did not know that this is what I wanted to be. I went through a phase of wanting to be in business. That was my high school goal, right? So I went into college, but really high school and college, they were pretty close to being the same to me. So left Penn State and I joined the military.
Thank you for serving.
Oh, yeah, no problem. My pleasure. So I spent 8 years in the military, and that's where I really learned process, discipline, leadership, things like that, and how really, taking steps creates the result, and you can control the result based on the steps you take. Mm-hmm. I went into sales from the military, and while in sales, just enjoyed it, loved it, and I enjoyed the training and teaching part of it. And that's what led me into where I am today. And it was just really, working in environments and for people. And even when you're at the highest level, whether you're the GM of the store, unless you're the owner signing the checks, right, you know what? You don't get to make the final decisions, right? And that's what led me to where I am now.
Right. No, and our subject today, it's about, sale, having the mindset to sell and just having the confidence. Did you develop that as you were in the military? Was that something that you, or did you have that early on that you could, as they say, sell me this pen?
No, actually in the beginning, I was rather shy and, kept to myself and just kind of wanted to get by without being noticed. Mm-hmm. The military doesn't allow that. So it really taught me how to come out and build the confidence to lead, right? To speak. Cause even sales, when you talk about sales and mindset, it is really a mindset that creates leadership as well, right? Cause you mm-hmm. have to sell yourself on the idea. So just being able to build that confidence and everything is what led me into sales. And then just having a process really helped me overcome a lot of the objections, a lot of the hurdles that people face on a day-to-day basis in sales.
Right. So, touching back on confidence, is that something that could be taught to, you went to the military, so obviously they did not let you be non-confident, if that's such a word, but can that be taught to everyday people like myself and friends and, because that's a touchy subject, especially because, some people don't want to sell. They always, it gets a bad connotation for some reason, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Sales is not a dirty word. In fact, sales is integrated in every single aspect of our lives. If you're a parent, you have to sell your children on the idea of education, right? Or why to take out the trash or do your chores. So no matter what we do, we're selling, okay? You want to get in shape, you got to sell yourself on the idea of why do I want to get in shape, right? And that's the only way you're going to complete the activity. So did the military teach you confidence? Absolutely. Did I realize how they taught me until later on? That was the key, right? So looking back is what, when I was like, whoa, well, that's why I became confident. And it was really based upon how do you become confident in anything that you do? If you play an instrument, play a sport, whatever it is, you're confident in something. Everyone is. Mm-hmm. So think about that thing. Why are you confident? And how did you get that confidence? Well, you practiced it. Nobody practices, right? So if you practice sales, if you practice communicating, or anything at all, over time, you're going to get better at it. And when you get better at it, your confidence builds. And then you get even better on top of that.
Right. So should we practice on our friends and loved ones on the art of selling, or at least the art of pretending to sell?
Correct. Well, selling is communicating, right? So,
right.
So I have a lot of real estate clients, and what we discuss is exactly that, right? So how do I practice it without coming across, I don't want to come across salesy, Well, what is salesy? It's usually someone that doesn't know how to sell is salesy. Someone that understands that if I show you value in this home, in this object, in whatever, my service, anything, you're going to want it. That's sales. Sales is providing value. If there's value, people will pay astronomically for it, right? And we see it all the time. So, you know, how do I not be salesy? Well, first you have to really learn about what the product is. What is it that you're doing? Okay. In real estate, you need to really learn about your client first. What is their wants and needs? What's their hot buttons? What are they looking for? And then if you build an inventory to show them based upon those things, the product's going to sell it. But you did the legwork, right? You did all the legwork to match the two together. And if you match them together, it's a perfect match. You didn't have to sound salesy. The problem is when they're not matched. That's when you sound salesy.
Ah, I see. Now, is there such a thing as building rapport with your, let's say, customer? Is that on a necessary basis or is that on a case-to-case basis that we need to build? You know, I always hear from other real estate investors, you got to build rapport with your customer.
Absolutely. Let's think about just our own buying habits, right? Who do we work with when we make a purchase, whether it's Best Buy, a vehicle, a home? You know, we're going to work with someone we're comfortable and we trust them and we feel that they have our best interests. So you definitely have to build that rapport, that relationship, that trust. And that is selling right there. Okay. Everyone tries to get to the close. Oh, I got to be a closer. Well, listen,
I've heard that too.
Is in the hello. If you know how to say hello and have that beginning first impression conversation, you're closing them at that point. Because if you do everything and they feel comfortable and confident within you, then they're going to figure out a way to do business with you. Because I'm sure you've had people and clients and whatnot that go, we want you to be our salesperson. We just need to find the right product, right? The right home or whatever it could be.
So, you know, now with the advent of the internet that, you know, whether it was 30, 40 years ago, 20 years, whatever it is, now email marketing seems to be the hot topic. Well, but how personal is email marketing? You know, because I see webinars on it and it seems okay, but it's like you know you have to provide content. That's one of the things I hear. It's always content. Make them trust you, tell a story, you know. That is email marketing part of our is it part of our DNA now? Is that something that we could use to sell what we want to, whether it's a service that we could provide or a consultation that you might provide? Is email marketing one of the vehicles that we have to use now?
I definitely believe that email marketing is a large part of how we communicate, right? And how we create the funnel. Okay. But I also am a firm believer in, you don't have to have massive amounts of volume. Okay. You know, especially in real estate and, you know, if you're selling a $10 product, then absolutely you need multiple customers and opportunities. If your goal is to sell properties and you want to sell 2 to 3 homes or whatever it may be in a month, well then you need more focus. You need to find the right person, the right clients, the right people to work with instead of finding many. Because a lot of that time you're spending on the bulk, you could be spending building that rapport, building that relationship.
So can you give us an example of an anatomy of a sale? Like what, let's say, take me for example, I invest in real estate, you know, whether it's real estate stocks or wanted to get a property. And, you know, the easy way for me, you know, I still have a full-time job and I'm pretty much a new investor. So I'm using email and text messaging. To me, it's impersonal. I would love to make the phone call, but how does Willie Morales presents himself? You know, can you give us like an example?
So if your only form of communication is through text and email, and you don't have the ability to make the phone calls and make that connection, you need to be able to present your personality and who you are, right? And it's very difficult to express tone and intent and everything else within a text or an email, right? They're pretty flat. It's difficult. So you need to integrate some video. Okay. And you need to add those links or build that stuff in there. So just hello. And honestly, this is where you don't want large amounts of lists, right? Because if you can personalize that email, even if it's 15, 20, 30 seconds, and you say the potential client's name and you address specific things that they may or may not be interested, it depends on what information you have of them. You are making that as much of a personal connection as you possibly could. So it's about the time, right? It's not about the amounts. Okay. Mm-hmm. People think it's a numbers game. Oh, numbers game. No, I would argue to say it's a value game. So if you have 10 opportunities and you present massive value, you have a better shot at a 90% close than if you have 100 opportunities and you just do a blanket value. You might get a 10% close and there's the same number, but who's going to provide more in the long run? Who's going to be the easier close? Who's going to spend the most money, the higher profit lines and so on and so forth is going to be the ones that you gave the value to, because the wallet will open, the money will be there. The investment is higher when there's more value.
I love that idea, or that what you just said about presenting a video, whether it's 20 seconds or 30 seconds, and sending it to the seller. And because you could show your personality there in those 20, 30 seconds. I love that. I never heard that before, because it's always, oh, just text the seller and say, hey, you know, my name is so-and-so, you know, I'm interested in your property. Would you consider selling at this term or whatever?
What do you do with those text? If you receive a message, it doesn't have to be about properties or homes, but if you just receive one of them blanket text messages, what do you do to them?
I'm going to be honest with you, Bill, 90% of the time, I'll just ignore it. You know, because I, for example, on LinkedIn, I'll get a text, right?
Absolutely.
So I get a text, or I'll get a request to be someone's friend, and they'll send like an email. Hey, my name is so-and-so, whatever. Bill, I accept. Maybe within the hour, I'm already getting the sales pitch. Do you invest in cryptocurrency? Or what do you think of Bitcoin? Would you be interested? I'm like, boy, I don't even know you.
Yeah.
So being professional, being nice, I'll answer, thanks, but I'm already doing it. Or thanks, I'm not interested. So yeah, I say within 9 out of 10 times, I pretty much ignore it.
Right.
It's not personal. It's just, let me just send them a random text. And it seems like it's a...
it's automated,
like a template. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So why not do what you don't? You get what I'm saying? If we don't like it, if we don't answer it, then why should we expect our potential clients to like it? Right. Yeah. And if they are that type of client that likes that stuff, do we want to work with them?
Mm-hmm. No. And that's the thing. I agree, because like I said before, when I get a text or someone that I just met, I feel like, how about talking? Let's talk over the phone if we can't meet. You're in California, I'm in New York. I don't mind talking to you. Let's talk.
Right. Yeah.
And the text is just, it doesn't, to be honest with you, it doesn't even work for me. Unless you're my friend, then okay, this is a short text. We're going to meet A and B, whatever.
Right.
So Bill, question, you starting out as a new investor, or just you have a new business and you don't have the confidence yet to talk to someone, or you can't present yourself because you're nervous, whatever, would a credibility kit help? Maybe showing that, hey, you know, I pay my bills on time. Let's say as an investor going to sell, I pay my bills on time. If you have a good credit score, maybe you show that, you show your picture. What do you think about it? Like a credibility kit? Can that help
The
process of selling or buying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or at least selling, I should say. Let me rephrase that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I definitely think that those things do help. It helps get over that hurdle of maybe you don't have that confident pitch, right? Is what you're talking about. Or, you know, because You know, I teach communication class to middle and high school students, and there's six pillars of communication, and one of them is authenticity. So if you're willing to be open and honest about whatever it may be, the situation, your financials, or any of those things, then obviously you're presenting yourself as authentic. So you're helping that build that rapport, right?
Right.
So that's real important, yes.
Okay, no, thank you for that, because I wasn't sure. You know, and it's funny because I had a credibility kit, and it's still under construction, so to speak. But, right. You know, you just gave me a little validation. So if you're starting out in the business, and let's talk about real estate.
Right.
The thing is, Bill, how do we get over that first fear of making that phone call? Because, yes, a text could be sent or email, and you sent it out, great. But still, eventually, you're going to have to talk to the seller.
Absolutely.
How do we get over that fear?
You brought up family and friends and stuff earlier about
right.
You practice with them.
Okay.
Think of it this way. If you can have a conversation and, you know, have that confidence in that conversation with someone you see on a daily basis,
right?
How much easier it is with someone you may never see, right? So that's the whole key to it, right? So practice. I'm a big believer in practicing while tying your tie in the mirror, different things like that, your word tracks, and being comfortable with what you say and how you say it. Video yourself. Critique yourself. What do you think? How do you think about it? You know what I mean?
Okay.
You don't, and then get into the phone calls and then start doing it. You're going to slip up. Listen, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 30 years in, you're going to make mistakes.
Very true.
So just understand that and push through it.
So how do we present? All right. So what would be the difference between selling ourselves and selling a product? Especially if we have, let's say, an affiliate product, you know,
right.
And it's real estate related and you explain to them, but how can we differentiate, if I'm butchering that word?
No, I understand. Those two. Between yourself and the product.
Yes.
So if you're having a conversation, that means they're interested in the product, right?
Yeah.
So the product's pretty much done its job. And this is what I tell people in automotive sales and whatnot. Those customers' houses, they're there because they want that product. Now they're just trying to find the person that they trust and gives them that safety to make that purchasing decision. You know, people always call it sales. Listen, the consumer is ready to buy. They're there to buy. Yes, sometimes you're catching someone that's not in buying mode, maybe, but there's triggers in there that cause them to move that position. But ultimately, they want to feel safe in making the decision. And your job is to make them feel safe and comfortable, provide them with the information so that they feel that they're making the right decision. So the product really brought them there.
Right. Okay. So we got to present ourselves, be professional, obviously. If we're doing this in person or like we are now on Zoom, how important is appearance? Because is it that much more important than the product itself? Is somebody going to look at someone and say, boy, this guy got a wrinkled t-shirt and his hair is mess, but his product is okay. Maybe I might give him a pass.
Well, I know with the Zoom and everything nowadays because of the situation, but this conversation's been going on for years. Do you wear a suit and a tie, or do you wear a polo shirt, right? And I mean, I'm in Southern California, but I'm originally from Philadelphia.
Winters in the East Coast.
So business in the Northeast it's business attire, right? You're wearing a suit. You're wearing, you know, professional clothing. You come out here to Southern California and they're wearing t-shirts and different things presenting business. I still wear a suit and tie. In this time of year, I tend not to wear a tie as often, but it's just really about you and your comfort. What makes you, because it's your suit, right? It's your costume, right? Like a superhero in a sense. And some people feel when they put it on, they feel different. And if that's what it does, then great. Use that to be better at presenting and whatnot as well.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right on the head. If you wear a suit, like when I go to networking events and I'm in a blazer and maybe not in a collared shirt, it's just, you feel different. You feel, or I feel like I fit in because, you know what, I'm wearing a blazer. Maybe I'm wearing jeans, but I got a nice pair of shoes on, and right. I'm presentable, I'm clean shaven, or whatever that may be. So, Bill, is it possible, can you give us maybe a couple of steps of how to get started? Like you said, or like we talked about, family and friends. What would be like the next two or three or four steps you would recommend someone that's looking to sell a product or get into investing, buying properties? Is there a step-by-step, two, three, four steps that you can give us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Besides family and friends practicing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know,
sorry, that was a long-winded question.
No, that's fine. So when you're comfortable with what it is that you're going to be doing, then you're going to take the next step of gathering who are the potential clients. Where is my market that I'm going after and whatnot? And you know, that's where when you start to build your lists, or whether email, phone, whatever type of list you have, and then you want to build out what's that message, how often do I want to make those attempts? So have a plan. Right. So it's okay. To me, it's like, you know, there isn't a farmer in the world that just kind of wets the grass, throws the seeds and goes, oh, hey, I hope it grows. No, they have a formulated right. plan, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, you need to sit down and put your plan together. Is there some magic plan that somebody can sell you for $99.95? No, there really isn't, because their life is different than your life. And how you are going to proceed and grow is going to be based upon all the aspects of your life, especially as an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of moving parts involved, and you're going to have to, you know, be prepared to turn left or right at any given moment. So you need to formulate your steps and your plan and then follow those steps.
No, I love it. I in this day and age, I think with especially, and I don't want to single them out, but the millennials, it seems, Bill, that their way of communicating is through text and email. If you get a conversation with them, and I talk about personal experience, it's correct. A shocker, and it's usually like 30 seconds, whatever, and then that's it. They don't want to talk anymore. They rather just text. How do we get them on board? Especially if I'm looking, you know, because I'm in my 50s, and I have a younger brother who's in his early to mid 30s, who's still, you know, maybe at the end of being a millennial. How do I get him the same thing? Should I practice with him? Should he practice with me on working our communication skills?
Absolutely. And always ask, right? So I rely on my wife and my family since we're in the business, we see it from our side, right? We don't necessarily see it from the consumer side. So you need to constantly be checking in with consumers and say, hey, what do you think about this? Would you answer this? Would you reply to this text message? Is it easier? And just be open with the clients, right? So I always start with text messaging and whatnot and say, hey, you know what? Listen, what's the best way to communicate? What's easiest for you, right?
Oh, okay.
Because when you take it into their, what's easier for you, then you're providing them value. Okay, great. Well, I'm interested in this and you're going to work with me the way I can work with you. Then, you know, remember, we need them more than they necessarily need us, right? So the more we can be flexible and be accommodating to their life and their situation, the better we're going to succeed and the more value we're bringing, right?
I like that idea. I never even thought about that. So when you contact a seller and, you know, and I send them an offer or, hey, I'm interested in purchasing your property, would you rather continue this conversation through email, text, or a video phone call, or just a phone call? Is that something? Because we're giving them the option.
Correct.
Okay, I love that.
Instead of saying, hey, let's set up a phone call. Well, maybe that person can't. So right. then now you just eliminated all the other possibilities and pinholed this phone call, and then what they can say yes or no to it. I always try to teach people that, and I used this when I was in the trenches, was I work with people that are ready to write a check today and people that are a year away. I'm just looking to find out, where are you in that process? And what questions can I answer to help you get to the next step? You know, just make it about them and where they are. Don't stop trying to push your narrative on them and let their side come to you. And then you figure out how to maneuver to get them to the next step.
No, I love that. So with, and I just wanted to touch base again on the young people. It's the same thing like we talked about earlier with the confidence building is the same thing with them, right? Just get them to talk to us, especially to someone older, practice on me. You know, if we're going to work together, if you're going to be my eyes and ears at a certain level of let's say searching for properties, hey, this is what I need you to communicate. Is that what would be the gist of it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't try to change anything about who you are to communicate in someone okay. else's world, right? So okay. so being authentic again, right? Yeah. So as soon as we try to adapt or be different in who we are, the other person feels it. It's a feeling you go, oh, this is phony. And then they don't trust you, right? So I hate to keep beating a drum on authenticity, but it's key to being comfortable and having trust and value. So
again, you hit it right on the head. I think it's just having the what you're providing to the seller, what how you come off as being trustworthy and authentic. I love that.
Yeah.
So with what's happening today in the world, Bill, has the pandemic affected your business in any way? How are you adjusting?
Well, I do a lot of in store, in person, in business type of style training. But now there's a lot of that. And there's a lot of online training, Zoom calls, whatever facility or you know, product you're using to do that type of training and that type of coaching. So yeah, it's definitely changed some things, but I think it's opened up a whole new world and
isn't that the truth?
Giving people a whole nother avenue to figure out how to communicate, right?
So talk more about your training and your coaching. So like if somebody was interested after hearing this podcast or, you know, they look at my show notes and see the information I provided, talk more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we work with, you know, individuals, small teams, large teams, all the way, you know, whatever size you have. So it starts with, you know, reaching out, having a conversation, an evaluation, right? Seeing where you are, where your business is, you know, because we all have a level of success, right? We're all successful to a certain point.
Right.
My job's not to come in, our company's job's not to come in and say, oh, you're doing it all wrong, right? Because you're doing something right, okay? You're successful. So how do we take you from where you are and help you get to the next level? It's like people mentoring and all these other terms are really big things of, how do I learn to get from A to B, right? And that's really what we provide, because it comes down to communication. You know, most of us start as entrepreneurs, just single point, just one person. And who are you communicating with? Just no one. It's just you. And then you build into this team of 10 people. And do you still have that clear line of communication through everyone? Does everyone know the objective and how to get there? Not the case all the time. It's because we weren't taught how to do it. So right. That's what we do. We come in, evaluate where you're at, and help you get to the next level.
So if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best bet?
ProfessionalSuccessSouth.com. Just, you know, go in there. All my information's there, and we'll be in touch.
Do you cover the whole country or just, you know, Southern California? It's anybody from – okay.
The whole country. Anywhere needed. Especially now, right? You could Zoom it up.
No, it definitely. I mean, every time we mention the word Zoom, that CEO is so happy because
yes, right?
We're promoting their product without any type of affiliate link. So, again, Bill, I appreciate you being on the show. I mean, you gave us so many golden nuggets. I mean, it's amazing. I love the idea. Thank you for validating me with the credibility kit. Practice on our loved ones. Is key, present value, make a video of ourselves, even if it's, like you said, 15, 20 seconds. And obviously if we can't meet the seller, but at least present ourselves in a way to say, hey, you know, my name is so-and-so, I'm interested in your property. How would you like to further communicate, which I love. Do you want to do text, email, or video call or whatever? That's amazing.
Yeah. Give them the option.
Give them the option. So, is there another way to contact you besides your website? Any other LinkedIn, Twitter?
I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So yeah,
so anywhere, just, we can find you.
You'll be able to find me. So sounds just good. Reach out.
No, listen, Bill, again, I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much. And we'll definitely be in contact, because this, I would love to communicate more with you, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a few months and see where we go from here.
Absolutely. Anything you need at all. And thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Well, everyone, that was Bill Corseja from ProfessionalSuccessSouth.com. That's ProfessionalSuccessSouth.com. Bill, thank you so much for being on today's P2P Real Estate Show. Really, really appreciate it. You can find me at P2PRealEstate.com. That's P2PRealEstate.com. Check out our past shows, our blog, and our resource page. And again, I said it a few episodes ago, we're looking to upgrade our website. Just a little time is taking. Trying to design this more user-friendly. Anyway, I'll let you know when that happens. You can find me on Apple Podcasts. Please go to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review. Tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, just a couple of more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it. Protect it. Guard it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. Anyway, on behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. And please stay safe. Bye.